And the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
Time for another edition of the sports page.
I guess, and we are starting. Fred Friedman's here. Kyle's to my right. Heidi's behind the plexiglass. It's hockey season. Well, it was. And it is also just a rough day.
Just a rough week
for Minnesota sports. Lynx. But we're going Lynx first because...
Good morning, Fred. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
This was hot off the press. I looked at my phone late last night of the cuts that the Lynx did.
They just I was so excited. Odyssey Sims was back.
She didn't believe me. I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
So something's going on.
Two players last night. And remember, we talked last week about how they're going to televise every game? Well, I knew there was a game. I have my TV set to record them, right? Whatever channel they might be on. But it wasn't recorded. But they're running them like 2 o'clock in the afternoon is when the game was recorded yesterday. So, yes, they're running the game. But the game was on, I believe, Tuesday night. And it was running yesterday.
Don't like it.
You know, I just, I'm like, that's not the same thing.
No.
I mean, I'm not a big sports person, so I don't mind as much. But, and I thought I'd heard the score of that game, so I did watch it. But they had a huge thing on Angel McCautry in that game about how great it was her coming to the team. And then John tells me today.
She played seven minutes and sat on the bench, and she's gone the next day with Odyssey Sims. So that tells me, first of all, I remember when we were talking about this, I said, you know, they had that woman from South Dakota that was so good and they played so hard. And they said, it's going to be hard for any of them to make it because we're loaded. You don't say that. That's always bad karma. So something, it's not athleticism that the reason is they're getting cut. I'll guarantee it's not athleticism. Something's going on. Fred?
Of course. It's either contract or money or squabbling with the agent or something that we don't know about. I don't like the fact that them showing games delayed or early or late. That's just squeezing advertisers into paying more money.
Yeah,
I don't like that at all, Heidi.
Yeah.
If you're trying to build your audience, you show the games live when they're being played, not delayed by 18 hours in the middle of the day when the 9-to-5 world can't watch it. I mean, it's a...
And I hope I may be wrong on that, but I know when I was talking with Scott the other day, he said, and that was Wednesday, he said they played last night. I'm like, what? It didn't show? I didn't know that. I was busy Tuesday night. And then all of a sudden that Indiana Fever game was on, and I watched it yesterday. Indiana Fever, the worst team in the league, and they beat them.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota got beat.
Yeah, Minnesota got beat, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay on the story, huh?
It's three games into the season. Minnesota sports fans love to overreact based on small sample sizes. That's a thing we do. We know they've got talent on the roster.
Yeah.
They'll right the ship. They have to because there's not much else great going on in Minnesota sports right now.
Oh, my gosh, Fred. It's just kind of a sad day. The Wild just got smoked. They put in Talbot because they had Fury in there for the first three games, and that was the conversation. And the first goal went just right through.
So let me say, I don't comment on NHL much, but I'm going to comment on this, all right? It was a good day for Minnesota hockey, and here's what I mean. The Blues, three-star defensemen, are all Minnesota kids. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's Nick Leddy, it's Justin Falk, and it's Scott Perunovich, the last of which, by the way, is a KAXC contributing family. But Paulie and Perunovich, those guys were leaders of the UMD hockey team that won two national championships, right?
Yeah.
And Leddy is a South St. Paul kid who played from the Gophers. So I want you guys to all think about this. There's more Minnesota natives on the Blues than there are in the Wild.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Well, it's good to see some Minnesota talent doing well, even if it's not in our Minnesota franchises.
That's the only good thing about it, right?
It's just the continuous curse. I mean, they haven't gotten past the first round since like 2003 or something. The Twins, what were they outscored? 27-3 or something?
They got 3 runs in 3 games.
Just annihilated by them. And as I was driving in my car, no matter if they're down 11-2, they had some stud that hit a home run, and they said it was just an easy, effortless swing. And I immediately went to Mr. Sano. Why doesn't Mr. Sano have an easy, smooth swing? And I know that's easier said than done. What are we talking about? Holy cow, Friday the 13th, Fred, there's like 37 grackles in our bird feeder. That's not good.
We got Hitchcock scene unfolding outside the studio.
Yeah.
Here's my reaction. The Twins aren't hitting. They gave away Taylor Rogers for a pitcher who's not going to be back this year because of elbow issues, right? Rogers has not blown a save yet on a strong save.
He hasn't given up a run yet. Leading the National League in saves.
And the guy we traded to get him, oh, we're so excited. Oh, come on, press, get excited, right? Looks like he's going to be out for the year. You cannot be offensively successful in baseball without your first baseman, third baseman, left fielder, and right fielder driving in runs. The Twins do none of that. I'm so sick and tired of the press and the front office raving about Kurloff and Larnach and Kepler, three-corner infielders outfielders who are brutal. Well, keep in mind, everybody, number three paid person on the Minnesota Twins is Miguel Sano.
Yeah. Again, let's not get excited, right? I mean, we got excited when they were way up there in the lead.
They're still in first place. Houston's a really good team. The Twins have had just a rash of injuries and missed time to COVID. So fans probably got a little too excited when they ran off 11 wins in 12 games. They'll probably get a little too down after getting swept. This series coming up, they play 3 against Cleveland. Guardians will be a good kind of heat check and see how they can rebound. But at some point, they've got to get healthy. They just don't have the depth to patch together winning lineups against good teams when they're missing so many players.
Yeah, Fred, any positives about the Twins? I mean, they've had some pretty decent pitching at times.
Well,
of course, batters are going to catch up to that.
I like the way the kids are playing. I like the way the youngsters are playing. Gordon's playing well. The shortstop's playing well. I kind of like that. That's kind of promising. But the people that are paid more money to produce, they're not produced. As far as I'm concerned, the team has 4 offensive players, right? Correa and Arraez and Buxton and
maybe only three.
The second baseman. And the second baseman.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. That's it. Yeah.
So
when they watch, I'm telling you, I say this every week, Luis Arraez has to play every single game.
Leads the team in average, leads the team in
on-base percentage. I don't care where he plays, he has to play every game.
And he doesn't care where he plays.
No.
Right.
He is a team ball player.
Here's a fun thing to think about. One of the changes made as part of the solving the lockout and getting a new collective bargaining agreement in place is that teams are no longer incentivized to keep their best prospects down in the minors,
right?
Even when they're major league ready, to maintain longer team control over them. And so without that change, my hunch is, given the Twins' past, that we wouldn't have seen Royce Lewis and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
Called up this. So I think it's really the change is doing what it's supposed to do. It's getting these young kids more major league service time sooner, which is good for them. And it's good for the fans to get to see some of these prospects. And you know, they haven't lit it up. But Lewis and Miranda have both had some good at-bats. Lewis has made some great plays in the field. And so it's kind of fun to see.
But you know what? They don't pitch. Right? They don't pitch. And it's the same old. The company, the Twins, the corporation, does not develop pitchers.
When did the recent, is this a recent thing where a game that doesn't go 5 innings is delayed?
They changed the rules a couple of times of that over the years, where it went from delay to make it up the next day to it doesn't count at all.
Oh.
So that's a great question, John. They've changed the rules many times over the years on that.
Okay, so what if they're playing on a Sunday and they're going to be the road day? Do they make, and then the next time they play that team, do they pick it up in the fifth inning? Or
yes.
They do.
If it's the last game. One of the reasons they went back and did that is because too many players were losing statistics. Home runs, a couple of hits, et cetera, et cetera. That got wiped out.
I see. So what else is cooking? The NBA, you follow it, Fred, at all?
Yeah, I saw the playoffs. During that, I saw the Bucks somehow come back and win that game. I don't know, over Memphis. I don't know. You know, I couldn't believe what I was watching. So I definitely watched that game. Can't figure out the Warriors, how they didn't even put in an effort.
They didn't.
Kyle, on the last game. There was no effort at all.
They feel like they can turn it on whenever they want. I don't think that's a good plan.
Yeah, Grizzlies blew them out without their superstar Ja Morant, who's probably out for the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah,
too many rough falls in the NBA that aren't called.
Yep,
that Warrior San Francisco Memphis series has been close to dirty. Too many ugly plays, pulling knees and scrambles, and. It's close to thuggery. I don't like it. I'd like to see the refs try to get control of these things. And that's the kind of thing that scares away viewers.
So
did you say thuggery?
I did. Thuggery.
Wow.
Thuggery.
All right.
talk about tough fouls. For some reason, I saw the other night Larry Bird and Bill Laimbeer going at it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dennis Rodman steps in and Bird hammers him and... That was the old days, boy. Yeah, that was dangerous.
There used to be fisticuffs on the court. And today that would be a 10-game suspension. Back then, they would just go give them a timeout for 15 minutes and sit in the corner, and then they're back in the game.
Go have a smoke at halftime and become buddies.
Hey,
wait
a minute. We lost Bob Lanier. We got to make sure we say that. Is he in the Hall of Fame? I don't think he is.
I think he is, but I'm not sure. Bob Lanier was a longtime setter for the Pistons. Big college star at St. Bonaventure, a Buffalo area college. Heck of a player. The NBA, to make money one year, had a one-on-one contest with all these stud guards and all that, and it was won by Bob Lanier, by the way.
Do you remember the four-horse or horse they played with Mindy Rudolph? Remember that?
Oh, I do.
Oh, my gosh, that was great. George.
What happened to all these centers? Remember they had all these dominant centers, all the Gilmores and Laniers?
That's just what I was going to say. Is I grew up, I was a kid in the early 80s, mid-80s, in the golden age of big men. And it's fun watching all these super athletic slashers and the three-point shooting. But, man, I grew up with Moses Malone and Robert Parrish and all these, legendary
big men. We grew up with Artis Gilmore and, different people like that. Yeah, it's not the game anymore. And in a way, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, I'd love to see another Hakeem Olajuwon, who was my very favorite player when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah, you'd have to be a lawyer to figure out his footwork.
Yeah.
You've got to be a lawyer to make up a word. Here's one of the things I don't like about the NBA. They've invented a word in the vocabulary, right? And here's the word, Eurostep. And Eurostep is three syllables for traveling.
And you have to be a lawyer to come up with the word thuggery.
Thuggery, there you go.
Heidi, you had some
tomfoolery is what you guys are doing here. But hey, we heard from our friend Lori. She thanks us for starting with the Lynx today. She said that was some news yesterday. I do want to say I'm not going to stop watching the Lynx. Sylvia Falls is playing great. The game with Indiana, she played really well. Rachel Banham, I think, got three-pointers during it. They're really passing well. Also, Jessica Shepherd's playing really well. They're figuring out with Sylvia, getting her right in the paint, right under there. And she's got three people on her, and she's still getting the basket. So
in the paint.
It's still...
The Timberwolves could learn a thing or two.
A lot of fun. Yeah. So next game is Saturday night at the Target Center, and they play Chicago Sky. They're 1-1, and we're 0-3. So... Maybe with all the shakeups, maybe it'll be a different atmosphere. Maybe it was making, I don't know.
Nowhere to go but up.
There's a lot of shakeups in the world of golf. Greg Norman is digging himself a gargantuan hole by sponsor.
What an idiot.
No kidding. What a selfish
error. What's he doing?
For people that don't know, Greg Norman, who was a great golfer back in the 90s, known for being a heck of a golfer and for having his hands around his neck during the major tournaments, is taking a lot of money from the Saudi Arabians. And golf reporters ask him, how can you take money from the Saudi Arabians after they killed this American journalist, just tortured him, cut up his body, and murdered him, right?
Yeah.
And how can you take their money? And here was Norman's answer. Look it up, everybody. This is a Fred exaggerate. Look up. He says, quote, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that one. Yeah,
that's a recent
one. And to the point, it's not just media who have called Norman out on this. Phil Mickelson, in an interview, was really frontal about it and saying, listen, they murdered this guy. I really don't know. So there's a lot of discontentment among PGA players about how the PGA is resistant to change. They're not really treating the talent very well. But this is really the only other viable alternative, and there's some pretty dire human rights concerns that go along with it.
Gary Player's son got banned from all tournaments forever, and they're threatening to ban his dad, Gary Player, too.
Because of marketing?
Of marketing, yeah. They're doing a big thing about Lee Elder, first African-American player, allowed to play at Augusta in the Masters, make a big deal, trying to apologize, make a wrong right, and sticking their heads in the camera during the interview are the players trying to sell a brand of golf balls.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's just, come on.
PGA does a lot wrong.
Yeah, they do. But now the commissioner came out and said he will not release these people to go play in that tournament. By the way, this tournament they're talking about, I think last place gets $180,000. Yeah. Winner gets
for a great product and a lot of money.
There you go.
They could do a better job.
Yes,
you know?
They can. Okay, Heidi, it is time. Is the theme thuggery?
No, it is not. The theme for this week, thanks to our senior correspondent, Scott Hall, is Call the Doctor. Common names and treatments for sports injuries and maladies.
Names and treatments?
Yes.
Okay.
For example, ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction is
Tommy John.
There we go.
Tommy
John. All right, so I'm a little worried about my pronunciations here. Here we go. Lateral epicondylitis is an irritation of the tissue in a forearm muscle, and it's named after the sport in which it often occurs.
Tennis elbow.
Yep.
Oh, forearm.
What have Nolan Ryan and other baseball pitchers used to heal blisters on the fingers of their pitching hand?
It's crazy glue.
Mm-mm.
That's what I would have said, too.
Me, too.
Pickle juice.
Oh, never sure. Toughen it up. Brine your fingertips.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. What other baseball Hall of Famer died of Lou Gehrig's disease?
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Give us initials.
Oh, J.H.
Oh, catfish hunter.
Yeah. Medial tibial stress syndrome is a painful lower leg injury that often affects distant runners and recreational runners. Rest is usually the best cure for the ailment, which is better known by what name?
Oh, I know this one. Jeez.
Come on, John, pull it out.
Okay, the hint is pain below the knee.
Osgood Schlatter's disease. I don't know.
Shin splints.
Oh,
I know you were thinking way too hard.
Face was all squished up there.
So I just want to make a comment. I had a basketball player, a young woman who was on my team that had shin splints so bad that she had to have surgery, and they literally cut down the shin, and the muscles come out like a lobster, and somehow they do some. Yeah, she had both of them. She was like super fast, and then she got to a point where she could hardly walk, and she was crying all the time. And they went in and cut her, and yeah, she was describing it. She's good now. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Retired athletes often suffer from luxating patella as a result of old leg injuries. A luxating patella is better known by what name?
Sounds like a vacuum cleaner.
Some kind of knees. Something on the knee.
Luxating patella.
Trick knee.
I know what that means.
The hyperextension of the metatarsophalangeal joint is an injury most often associated with football. The injury is better known by what name?
Shin splints.
That's a dislocated.
No, I mean, not shin splints.
It's often sustained on AstroTurf.
Oh, turf toe.
Yes.
Turf toe. Must be bad.
Baseball pitchers and tennis players are particularly vulnerable to injuring this group of four muscles and tendons that keep your upper arm bone in your shoulder socket.
The old rotator cuff.
There we go.
Rotator cuff.
And finally, inflammatory myopathy causes chronic muscle inflammation and weakness. Twins fans came to know inflammatory myopia by what name?
Oh, that's like your side hurts. That's that thing that supposedly Joe Mauer had.
Bilateral leg weakness?
There we go.
Upper body contusion?
That had to be made up by some kind of promoter or our PR person.
So I was when he was throwing that clue out, I was thinking of a Pittsburgh, because they're talking about medical. I was thinking of the Pittsburgh pitcher that had a medical name. You remember him?
Doc Ellis.
There you go. Doc Ellis.
That was a very different kind of therapy involved there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the uninitiated, Doc Ellis threw the greatest no-hitter in Major League Baseball history because he did it while he was on LSD for added degree of difficulty.
The Russians give that added difficulty a 9-7. Woo! All right.
John Candelaria said that Doc Ellis never even remembered the game.
Oh, my gosh. So the doc was a doc, a pharmacist.
So heads up, you guys, next Friday at this time, we are celebrating, it's John Bauer Day. It's the semi-retirement of John Bauer. You only hear him on Friday, so this is your time to roast him next week, okay?
Awesome. John, you can report on the mammoth pension that you're getting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I will. And also, they're gonna bring me in a new car out of the bullpen. Remember those days?
Golf.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
We're working on getting you a watch.
A watch.
Yeah.
Good. All right, Fred.
Get him a sleeve of golf balls.
It'll last a week. All right, take care. Fred, Kyle,
yeah,
Heidi.
Fishing opener tomorrow, everybody. Be safe.
Yeah, no kidding.